I think we need to open with some scary music. Hi, everybody. I'm Penny Legate.
I'm Julie Blacklow.
And you're listening to A Couple of Dusty Muffins.
A Couple of Dusty Muffins is brought to you by the Sabie Corporation, a company focused on changing the healthcare system from treating disease to promoting a healthy lifestyle.
Today, we're talking about a phenomenon. I know it exists with women. I don't know how many men experience this, but I'm sure they do. They just don't talk about it as much, which is the experience of having woo-woo moments, psychic phenomenon, intuition. There are a lot of different names to call this thing, but I just call it listening to your gut, having a feeling about something and listening to the truth that's trying to get out and tell you something. How would you define it, Penny?
Well, I think that's your mechanism. Mine is a little different. Mine comes from completely external sources to my head. And sounds a little crazy, but the technique or the way it happens, for lack of better terminology here, is it always comes as a direct thought into my head that's completely different than how I think and how I talk. And the communication is very clear and very succinct and kind, but it's different than how I think. I think more like kind of circularly, and this is very straight and linear, giving me a message. So, you know, there's all different kinds of ways I've had incredible, what I call extra perceptive,
extra sensory perceptions.
That's it. Right. Thank you, dear.
it's early while we're recording this. So,
yes,
you know,
yes,
we need to leave all our mistakes in the podcast.
Anything before 10 a.m. It's early for me.
Amen, sister. Right.
So, yeah, I was fascinated with this topic because Julie had mentioned a friend of hers the other day and this really crazy thing that had happened to her. And I'm like, what? So, Julie, talk about the huge premonition.
That was quite peculiar, although I have to call this one kind of a psychic experience where I saw something before it happened. I knew intuitively something was going to happen before it happened. The first one I experienced was when I was 8 years old, and I knew that an ambulance was coming to my house and that my grandfather was dying, which happened 2 days later,
wow,
exactly as I envisioned it. But the other thing that happened to me was some maybe 20 years ago. I was watching a movie at my home. I was watching it with my husband, and all of a sudden I stood up and I said, my friend's house is on fire. And of course, he looked at me, you know, with great incredulity. And I said, no, we have to go right now. And these were some dear friends who I knew were away for the weekend, and they lived maybe 2 miles from us. And we got in the car and went to their home, and it was absolutely burning.
Oh my gosh.
And we got there before the fire department got there. So I knew she was an artist and that he was a collector of very valuable books. So my husband went into her art studio and brought out her paintings, went into the fire, brought out her paintings. I went in and got his incredible collection of Edward Curtis prints, very valuable art. And then I went back and I got her cats and brought them out and put them in my car. They were hundreds and hundreds of miles away, but they got home in the middle of the night, maybe 3 a.m. Of course, the first thing she asked me was not about the art, not about this very expensive home, but are the kitties okay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that told me who she was, and I always knew who she was, but that was quite unnerving.
That's too just out of the blue.
I wasn't watching a film with fire in it, but I knew that their house was on fire. It was quite scary, even more so than the flames themselves, to have that vision of their home burning. I've thought about it many times over the years. And I want to cite something here that works for me, which is an internal thing, as opposed to your external cues that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may remember the book, The World According to Garp.
Oh, yeah.
Great book.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, Garp, as a young boy, is walking by the ocean. He hears his mother shouting at him, look out for the undertow. But he heard her say, look out for the undertowed.
Undertowed.
And he kept having the undertowed.
Yes.
And he had this vision of this enormous frog coming out of the ocean to devour him. For John Irving, this was a real thing. So throughout his life, he would always refer to that feeling that he had inside as worrying about the undertowed coming. And I've had that many times in my life, my career. I knew the undertowed was coming to get me. And on three different occasions, it did. Mm-hmm. And I knew ahead of time that something terrible was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Lucky me, I survived them all. And that includes having cancer. I knew it was coming. I want to hear what yours are, external cues.
Yeah. So one of the most memorable for me was when I was about 11 or 12 years old. And I was in Ogallala, Nebraska, where I grew up. And I had walked a friend partway home. And then I was walking to my house, which was probably about three blocks away. And as I left her house and said goodnight, I saw this man walking on the other side of the street in the opposite direction. And in Ogallala, Nebraska, at dusk, it's not unusual to see people out walking around. And I just kind of glanced across the street to see if it was somebody I knew, because this was kind of my neighborhood. And he kind of glanced at me, the same kind of thing, and didn't think anything of it and kept going. So I'm walking home, and it's a very strange kind of configuration of a block right there. It's this really long, extended block where it's like this, the size of two blocks, but without any intersection, if you can imagine that. Just this big, long kind of walk block. And at the end of the block is this big, well, it seemed like a mansion to us, where a very rich ranching family had their home years ago before all these other homes sprung up around it. Lots of trees and land around it. And then our house was like a couple doors down. You can see our house from this, but you could see this big home. So I'm walking towards this place and I'm about halfway home and I get this really creepy feeling. And mind you, I didn't connect it at all to this man I'd seen at all. It was just a creepy general feeling like, just something like I was felt threatened. I felt like I was in trouble. And this voice, and when I say a voice, it's not an audio voice. Like if somebody were walking with me, they could hear it. It's in my head. It's because I felt like just take bolting home, right? Just running for home as fast as I could. And this voice says, don't run now. Because if you do, and someone chases you, you will be tired.
And it's so weird.
I know. I still remember it absolutely verbatim. And it was very calm. And I listened to it and I'm thinking, okay, all right, okay. I'm a 12-year-old. That's interesting. I'm not going to run then. Okay. Don't think anything else. I'm still not connecting it to this guy. I come down the very long block and I'm walking towards the mansion across the street. And then I'm going to turn a left and I look up and there he is waiting for me on the street corner under the street light. And he has backtracked around through yards and followed me to a place where he could intersect with me. And as soon as I saw him, I knew he was going to come after me. As soon as I saw him there, and he was standing there under the streetlight, he pulled something out of his, he looked both ways, pulled something out of his pocket and took off after me. I luckily was a fast runner and I bolted for my life. I couldn't make it to my house. The big mansion was closer, but in a flash of a second, I just understood that there were old people that lived in that house and I would bang on the door and I would be caught by this guy. I mean, it's amazing how you can slow motion think about all these possibilities in the blink of an eye. It's just instant. So I ran towards a house that I actually had to run towards him to get to, kind of at a diagonal. And he was diagonally coming for me. It was all like in slow motion. I'm running and running and running. And thank goodness, in those days in Ogallala, Nebraska, nobody locked their doors. Everybody had screen doors, of course. And I remember grabbing this handle and pulling the door open. I got there ahead of him and slammed it shut behind me. And as I spun around, he was stood right there at the screen and looked at me. And we had this moment of just utter terror of looking in this man's eyes. I remember thinking, is he coming in? It was like this moment because I just had slammed the door quickly behind me. And then he flashed of an eye, he ran away.
But what did that tell you about yourself? There must have been some internal combustion going on.
Well, there was clearly some sort of perception that this man, something in the ether was dangerous. It didn't compute to me. It came from an external source that told me, if you get chased and you're running already, you'll be too tired by the time he intersects with you. That's the message to me now.
Wow.
But at the time, I'm just thinking, okay, I feel like running because I feel creepy. They never found him, never caught him. We lived on Interstate 80 off, you know, the town was on this long stretch of Nebraska highway. And I'm sure he was just trying to pick up I don't know what he had in his pocket, it was chloroform or whatever.
Kidnap you. Who the hell knows?
I know. So think, how close did I come? I mean, how close was that? So, and that premonition saved my life.
Yeah, I had an experience like that from my father, who had died a couple years earlier. And I was coming home from work, and I was at a stoplight at a very busy crossroads, about to take a left turn to head down to my home. And my light turned green, and my father's voice in my right ear said, "Don't go." And as he said that, another car coming down the hill ran their red light. And had I gone, I would have been killed. So there are voices that speak to us. That was an external one for me, but most of them are sort of a feeling I have or a gut instinct I have around certain people that tells me to stay away. I do want to say in this chat that we're having, something that just happened with you that you conveyed to me, that you just recently had an MRI because you were concerned about one of your breasts.
I'm a breast cancer survivor.
Cancer, right. You're a breast cancer survivor. And I asked you, why were you having an MRI? And you said, well, I just had this feeling that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And you had some physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. And those, of course, emotions can manifest into physical symptoms. The mind creates realities far too often. But you listened to that and you went and got this MRI and you're fine, thank God. But I want to say that I think a lot of these phenomenon do not get supported by the culture. People often don't share these experiences they have with each other because they think people will think they're crazy. Right. I mean, I'm fine with people thinking I'm crazy because I am.
Because I am.
I have no problem with that. But I wish people would be more open about sharing these intuitions, these gut feelings, these innate voices inside or outside, wherever they come from, telling us, guiding us through the obstacles and hurdles of life.
One of the things I've read, Julie, is that messages from people on the other side often come to us in dreams. And you've heard many times of people having these term breakthrough dreams. And in a breakthrough dream, you know, I dream, for example, about my mother all the time. She died in 2005. She's just an angel on earth, really. When she passed away, I was the only one that couldn't be there because I was unreachable in a really remote place in the world with no internet and anything. This was back a few years ago. And so I was the only one that didn't get to be bedside with her when she passed. I would say maybe a month after she died, I had this dream. And I say a dream, but it really was a connection. It really was an encounter. And in the dream, I was coming in from my garage and all these little sparkles were coming through the holes in the ceiling. I'm going, wow, something cool is going to happen here. Look at all these little cool sparkly things. There she was. She was probably about 40 years old. And they say that people will come back in their favorite time of life when they felt they looked the best and were the best. So she came back at age 40. She was wearing a dress that she loved. She was kind of levitating a bit and she had her arms out and she goes, oh, I miss my girl. Huh? And she had her arms out and I'm like, mom. I remember thinking I am going to reach through and touch her because I knew she was there. I knew she was there in my dream. And I stretched my arm out and I'm pushing through this invisible veil, for lack of better terms. And then I was so determined that I pushed through it and felt her shoulder on my hand. And then she just disappeared. And I woke up and I was sobbing. I was crying. I was like, oh my God, Mom was just here. Mom was here. She was just here. I mean, it was as real as you and I sitting side by side. That's how real it was. And you hear about other people having what they call these breakthroughs where I dream about her all the time. And it's not like this. It's not like this particular type of dream. So I know that other people have these because I've read about them. But has anything like that ever happened to you in a dream?
Well, my deceased husband, Ted, I'm quite sure was furious with me. We were still having a fight and he was sitting on my bed. I mean, I think I had an actual corporal visit from this guy, but the other, most of the,
you mean you had a physical encounter?
Yeah. Like, I think he was actually there. I mean, I think he was sitting on my bed, but you're coming from a state of sleep. So you're not sure whether you're manifesting it or whatever, but I knew he was there. But the funniest, not breakthrough, but visitation, again, my father, while I was writing my book, my father came to me in a dream and he was really pissed off. And he said, where's my chapter? Why aren't you writing a chapter about me? This is absolutely true.
You are definitely your father's daughter.
Absolutely. I said, Daddy, I wrote about you in the front of the book. And he said, No. Write about what you did with me when I died. It's funny. And I went, oh my God. And so I did write a chapter in my book. I went down at 3 a.m, wrote it in 4 hours. And the chapter is called Scattering Daddy. And that's another story. I mean, it's very bizarre, funny story, but I always try to find humor in dark moments. Yeah, Daddy came to me and he was right about me. Where's my chapter? You wrote about your horse. You wrote about your mother. You wrote about your husband. You wrote about Chuck Berry trying to pay you to give him a blowjob. And if you want to hear more about that ridiculous story, check out our podcast on celebrity gossip. You know, you wrote about all these people, but where am I? So yeah. I gave him his own chapter. This is a fun thing to talk about and an interesting thing to talk about.
And I think more people would talk about it. I think they have these things, but like you said before, they're not scientifically proven. And, you know, you don't want to sound like a complete weirdo or somebody who's got.
Well, I refer back to our podcast on near death experiences. There are plenty of people who will validate and say, oh, yeah. There's a lot of communication coming to us from all different realms. So
I want to wrap up with a quick story. This has to do with my daughter, Mara, who passed away in 2012 at age 19. And she was a very powerful personality. She comes through in lots of different ways, which I could spend, you know, an hour just talking about all those experiences with her on the other side. But this one I'd love to share with people who are listening because I think it's a powerful message. I've shared it with some people and they feel really renewed when I read this to them. I'm going to edit it. But basically, I was on the beach walking along my favorite place where I feel like the veil gets thin. I find a lot of heart rocks and I always believe they come from her. It was one of those mornings where everything was just beautiful. And all of a sudden she came through and she said, hey, mommy, I'm here. I'm here with you right now. And look around. I'm here in everything you see. I'm in the beach glass. I'm in the stones scattered on the beach. I'm in the tangle of seaweed and driftwood and on and on. And she says, Mom, all there is love. That's all there is here in the next realm. Only love. No pain, anguish, sorrow, anger, illness, resentment. Only love. And every act of love you commit on earth comes with you. That's why every soul in human form should love as much as they can, so they can bring even more love to heaven with them. And we collect it all up, all these acts of love, and it stays with you forever. Now, by now, I'm crying as I'm...
Well, I'm crying now, Lord.
And she goes, Mom, don't be sad. I'm still here. And whenever you doubt it, just look around. I am in everything and part of everything. Just love as much as you can, in every way you can, so we can bask in the love you will bring with you when you get here.
Well, I'm ready to go.
That's seriously beautiful, right? And so I came right in after this conversation with her. And again, this is the kind of thing, like I said, it goes into my head. I hear it externally in my head. I ran in, I typed everything down verbatim how she said it. And those are all how she speaks and how her words. Okay, so the story's not quite over. So fast forward, 10 years later, last summer, I was doing a project with the Lummi tribe, and they were taking this totem pole around to try to save salmon. And that's the very shortened version. And I was very privileged to get to spend time with lots of different indigenous people in the Pacific Northwest. And there was one man in particular named Douglas, who I just felt connected to. He, at the end of this documentary I was doing, I did my final wrap-up interviews, you know, Julie, the wrap-up questions, like, did you feel like this accomplished what you needed it to? Did you get the message out that you wanted to get to all the people, the tribes and all the people in public meetings? And I asked him those just kind of general wrap-up questions. He answered them politely. And then it was a pause. And I said, well, thank you very much. And I appreciate your time. It's been an honor to spend time with you and get to know you a little better. And he just kind of looked at me. Very matter of fact, he goes, you know, all there is love. And he said, and all the love you create here comes with you. And he started to say almost verbatim what Mara had said to me on the beach. Almost verbatim, completely out of the blue. I burst into tears because it was like, oh my gosh. And he doesn't even seem upset I'm crying or reacting. He's just talking. And I said, you've just told me everything almost verbatim in the same words, in the same sentences that my daughter who passed told me a couple of years ago. And he said, he didn't go, oh, wow, that's cool. Or he doesn't even react when I say that. And he goes, well, I guess I'm here to bear witness for her. How powerful. There's definitely things going on, Julie, out there that we,
yeah,
we feel them, we experience them. They're very real.
They are real. Just because they're not, listen, if you dive into quantum physics, even for a moment, you'll know that all, you're never really touching anything, that there's only space between that. Yeah. So we're not really here, but I feel you. I see you. I believe all of this, and we better go make some more love in the world, huh, girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. We need to just keep loving as much as we can.
Okay. Well,
I love you.
I love you too, honey. And thank
I love Clem.
I love Clem, our audio guy who edits us, thank God.
And I love all the people who follow us.
Yes, thank
really
you.
Do.
Dusty thank Muffin you. Signing off.
A couple of Dusty Muffins thanks the Sabie Corporation, an amazing company that builds structures which create spaces for the advancement of medical science and life sciences, which help all of us.
Hey, if you have something to say, please do so in an email. Send it to coupleofdustymuffins@gmail.com. That's C-O-U-P-L-A, dustymuffins@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. I'm Production Director Clem Daniels.